As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season two of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Barber, I was wondering who was going to start it, you or me.
Well, it's almost like a vocal warm-up, you know?
It really is. You know? And what I find is sometimes I should do a vocal warm-up before the vocal warm-up because
true.
I try and go for a little, nah, and it just, it's not happening.
You're going through puberty.
Yeah, yeah. And it's with the rain and everything today. And it's just, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's the holidays. Everything.
My agoraphobia is in full effect. I don't want to leave the house and deal with the traffic, the holiday traffic.
I was at the mall yesterday.
Oh,
it wasn't too terrible.
Really?
It wasn't too terrible. Yeah, no.
I'm impressed you went. I won't go within a 3-mile radius of a mall.
Well, it was middle
right
of the day on like Monday. Well, yeah, it was Monday. So okay. It definitely was good. Mm. This episode's airing after all this, so nobody cares.
Nobody cares
what we were doing over the holidays.
3 weeks ago.
We've moved past. In fact, no one wants to hear us mention the holidays. They're so over it. We're a week into January now. They're like, please let us just not think about that until the end of next year. I should say right now, how many days are left till Christmas? But I won't.
Oh, no.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do
don't
that.
Do
I wouldn't
that do that.
Because I would feel bad. That's, nobody.
Well, the stores have already moved on to probably St. Patrick's Day at this point.
Right. It's bathing suit season now. So all of the bikinis are out. You better get them now before they go on sale in February.
So, yes. Oh, dear.
The kids asked me, B asked me, she was like, doesn't it just feel like it's only been like 2 years. Like it doesn't feel like we're heading into 2024. She was like, is it true that time really goes faster the older you get? And I just wanted to look at her and be like, you have no idea. If you think it's going fast now, you literally have no idea how fast it's going to go by the time you're my age.
No clue. No, it's so true. It goes way too fast. And then you forget. You forget things at a fast rate as well.
And I forget things already, so I don't need any help forgetting. But one thing I have not forgotten is that we are now in season two.
I'm blown away that we made it through season one and survived.
I
didn't screw up too badly yet.
I mean, only the outros.
Only the outros,
and that's pretty good. It's like I can hold it together just long enough to get to the end, and then my brain just goes, whoa.
You're like, I'm done.
Yep. Right.
But your brain is on hiatus.
I can't believe we're into the second season already. I gotta say, though, how did you feel about the ending of season one? Maybe I'm just too used to, like, modern television and how, like, you have to make people be like, oh my God, what's gonna happen in order to come back for the next season? And I feel like it used to be a little more like you could just have a show and it would be done and then you'd wait till it came back and you'd see the next one. I just wondered how you felt like we left things season one of Full House? Like, was it, oh my God, I've got to come back and see what the Tanners are doing?
No, I mean, I loved the season overall, but as far as that final episode, it really feel like a final episode for a season. I almost feel like the season should have ended with the 7-month itch part two, because that was definitely a cliffhanger. That Jesse come back or not?
I wonder if they maybe wanted it to be, if maybe that was what they wanted to. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know. But yeah.
But no. It did. I was like, oh, what's the thing that keeps you coming back? But I guess, like I said, it's also we've sort of become jaded in our television watching. Like, now we expect
the cliffhanger.
The cliffhanger or something because it's just competing for your attention. But overall, I thought season one was great. I love watching sort of where everyone has wound up and seeing where we're going now.
Yeah, and it's so cool to see how much we've all aged in this. It was what, like a 5-month hiatus between season one and season two?
Usually it wasn't that. Usually it was like 3 months, I think. Oh, okay. Yeah, because we worked like eight and a half, nine months out of the year, and then it was like we'd have kind of usually like April through July off. Well, I think we would usually come back right after 4th of July, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like I feel like we had the barbecues at John's house around like July-ish, and then we'd all be back to work. But my first note was we all have just back from hiatus hair.
Oh yeah.
And looks, which basically some of our hair is longer, some of it's shorter. Mine is lighter. Yeah. Candace is more permed. Mm-hmm. I definitely was out in the backyards in the pool
because
I was
tan.
I was very tan and my hair was very blonde. And that was always the thing they had to tell me in between like weeks was don't go out in the sun because I just tan really
easily. You
tan
easily. So easily.
Was, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. But yes, we had hiatus hair. It was because by the end, the last episode of season one, those men needed a haircut, all of them.
Yes,
I can see it was long. It was a lot.
It was time.
Dave's was longer than I've ever seen it the whole season.
Yes. Well, that's
he had very Mel Gibson. What's that movie? The 80s cop, whatever, like that. Just that hair.
Oh, not Die Hard. No, what is it?
No,
I don't know.
It's
the Mel Gibson hair. Okay.
It was Dave really was rocking some hair.
He had
quite a large mullet.
Quite a large mullet. And and this is very timely because it's time for Jesse to get rid of the mullet.
Time
finally.
For Jesse to get rid of the mullet. And this is actually one of my favorite episodes. I love this episode. Mm-hmm. I forgot it was the season two opener.
I forgot that, for some reason.
I thought it came in season one. Like, I kept expecting it in season one. Uh-huh. I thought it was tied in with when Jesse leaves. I thought it had to do with the haircut and the arm, and that he, like, broke his arm when he was out there or whatever.
He was mad. But, right. He was having feelings, so he was taking it out on the road.
And again, Jesse and his feelings.
Jesse's got feelings.
Jesse and his feelings are having problems, and now he broke his arms.
Yeah. That's what you get for taking it out on the road.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yes, okay.
We haven't. We're
let's set
we're
it up.
Blowing surprises. But
spoiler alert. 36 years later, Jesse cuts his hair.
Right. Yeah. As Jesse cuts his hair and breaks his arms. But yeah,
let's do our official
season two. Yeah. I don't need to be screwing it up from the beginning.
Don't screw up my intro, okay? Because you can screw up your outro, but
I am not going to.
Ooh,
I'm saying it right now.
Those are big words.
Saying it right now.
Sweeten.
Them's fighting words, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to screw it up today.
Okay, 45 minutes from now, we're going to find out if that's going to come true or not.
Oh, boy.
Welcome back to How Rude, Tanneritos. I'm Andrea Barber.
And I'm Jody Sweeten.
And today we are discussing season two, episode one, called Cutting It Close.
Ooh.
It originally aired on October 14th. 1988, and it goes a little something like this. Stephanie forces Jesse to play beauty parlor with her, and she accidentally cuts off a hunk of his hair. So he is forced to go to his hairdresser to repair the damage. Whew. These are high stakes here, because we all know how much Jesse loves his hair.
The hair? Not the hair, huh?
Not the hair, huh? This episode was directed by Joel Zwick, and it was written by none other than Jeff Franklin. We have one guest star this week, Charlie Spradlin as Rhonda. And she has had some guest appearances in David Lynch's Wild at Heart, also okay. Twin Peaks. And she was a B-movie horror star in films like Puppet Master 2 and Meridian, Kiss of the Beast.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right.
Didn't I even mention Puppet Master in the show we did with Dave?
Oh.
I did.
Yeah, I think you did.
Ooh. That's weird.
Ooh. Spooky. Yeah. Spooky. Strange.
Yeah. And also another woman with an A name.
Oh, yeah.
Continuing
Rhonda.
Rhonda.
Yeah. Oh, geez. That's okay. We got to ask Jeff about this. He's going to be on the show in a few weeks. So this is definitely timely.
Yes.
Okay. So we open. We have our first cold open. We have our first teaser.
But we have a teaser. Yes. But which now I believe they call cold opens.
Yeah.
But back then we called them teasers. But what's up with this weird little graphic thing that pops in?
Yeah,
in the
It was startling.
Like,
it was startling. It was like a cartoonish graphic of the bridge and the Full House logo.
Yeah.
I think that's because we're starting to do teasers, cold opens now. So it's like, hey, this is Full House. Here's your cold open before the opening credits.
Shows always. I felt like that wasn't a thing that shows did, but they started doing them, and that was. I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway,
the graphic.
It was weird. I wasn't quite sure, but it felt super nostalgic, and it felt like something that I designed in my 7th grade computer science class, where you like learned on floppy disks. How to like write basic code on those, right? On those like those gigantic monitors with like the little green DOS, you know, thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's basically what that cold open looked like.
That's what that is. Yes, exactly.
Great. Super pixelated. Height of technology.
It's very 80s. It's very 80s. But yeah, so this is the start of cold opens, which is, a cold open or a teaser is just a short little scene that sometimes has to do with the episode, but oftentimes doesn't. It's literally a teaser. It teases, you know, these are our characters. This is a fun way to get the audience engaged before we roll the opening credits.
Yeah.
So this cold open opens with Joey holding Michelle, who is visibly older at this point.
Yeah.
She's full
and
on
with
toddler.
Much more hair.
A lot more expressions. Like she's definitely
Oh my gosh.
Older.
A lot more teeth.
A
lot more teeth. Yep.
Yeah. So Joey says she's ready this time, and he summons the entire family into the living room. There is this sense of urgency. He announces that Michelle is going to try again, and everyone groans. Steph tells him she's just going to do it to us again, and Joey assures them that Michelle is psyched. Jesse agrees that they can give the little ankle biter one more try. We don't know what this thing is, but that's the teaser part of this teaser. What is Michelle going to do? So they all grab hands. They start doing Ring Around the Rosie. And once everyone falls down, Michelle stays standing, sticking her tongue out at the rest of the family. DJ admits that kid's got a real mean streak. So this was like a new skill that Michelle had learned was sticking your tongue out.
And Ring Around the Rosie, very dark history.
Really?
Do you know what it is about?
No.
It's about the Black Plague. It's about the plague. Ring
Are you
around
serious?
The rosy. Yeah, yeah. Ring around the rosy, a pocket full of posy. You would put posy, it was a type of flower, in your in your pocket. They thought it would ward away the Black Plague. And ring around the rosy, you would get like rosy cheeks, but you would get these little rings around certain things. And then pocket full of posy, ashes, we all fall down because everyone was dying.
What?
Anyway.
How did you know? Yeah. Of course you know this weird
knowledge.
I don't
know why or how I knew it or what it's...
That's horrifying.
But anyway, but it's a song, right? Well, I mean, you know, we got the Baby in the Tree song. We got the Ring Around the Rosie song.
Why are they teaching this in nursery school? Like, why is it the thing?
It's very dark.
That's dark
times.
Wow. Okay, well, this has started in
so
a way
So maybe Michelle
that
was
onto
something. She was like, look, I'm not trying to kill you guys off. Just saying.
Wow. Okay. So this took a turn. But that leads us into these slightly new opening credits. Woohoo.
Yes.
Okay. So most of these opening credits are the same as season one, but the kids
You guys have always got updated ones every year because we change.
Because you change so much. That's right. You grow. You're taller. Your hair's different. You're tanner. Ah, the tanner is tanner. So Candace is showing off a cool sweater. Jody, you're walking out the front door with your backpack.
Yes.
And your lunch pail. And Mary-Kate and Ashley finally have their opening title card. I'm very excited for them.
Yeah.
Of one of them in a shopping cart. Super, super cute.
Yes.
Very exciting. So, yes, and I'm very interested to see what changes in the next episode, because I believe a lot of this footage from the opening credits is the same as season one, because Jeff didn't want to give away the haircut.
Right.
So,
oh, that's true. So it might be all new opening credits for season two. We'll see.
We'll see. I don't know, because Jesse still has the mullet in this opening credit. So stay tuned.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm sure every one of our listeners can attest that we all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And I carry around quite a few of them myself.
I know when I bottle up my problems and emotions, it can start to have a negative effect in my day-to-day life. Therapy is my safe space where I can get things off my chest and figure out how to solve the things that are weighing me down.
Seriously, therapy is an amazing tool to help you be the best version of yourself. And whether you're aiming to set new boundaries, something that is sometimes missing in our episodes, or learn positive coping skills, or learn to heal from trauma, therapy can help.
With BetterHelp, all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howrude.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, we'll boot it!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we open, well, we've already opened the show. We continue the show in Jesse's room, where Jesse is working on some new rock star moves. Stephanie walks in sporting a smock and she turns off his amp. Jesse hops back over to her and says, first rule of rock and roll, never cut a guy's power off when he's duck walking.
Yeah.
Did you know this term? That was duck walking? I've never heard
yeah,
this term.
It was like a rock and roll thing. I feel like it was a sort of a Van Halen-esque, like the 80s hair band, and it was a thing. I think it started even earlier than that. Like, you know, it's got like Chuck Berry probably was duck walking. I don't know. It looks very, weird and rather uncomfortable.
It's very awkward. Yeah. I mean, John's performing it well, but it's still an awkward
move. I actually wrote down, I was like, did cool people ever duck walk? But Yeah.
I'm going to go with no, but hey.
Yeah. Yeah. And now duck walking is more of like a drag show thing, and it's more voguing, and you're down on the ground, and it has nothing to do with playing guitar or doing any sort of movement like that. So,
and nothing to do with ducks.
I would say the drag show duck walking would give you more of an impression of a duck because you're sort of crouched down while doing it.
Oh.
But guitar duck walking is very odd.
Very odd. Anyways, okay, moving on.
But we know the rule now, which is never cut a guy's power off when he's duck walking.
Right, okay.
Rule number one.
That's a rule to live by. Okay.
Right.
So Stephanie apologizes, but she informs Jesse that he's late for his haircut appointment with Mr. Stephanie.
Ooh.
But Jesse doesn't want to play. Yeah, very gender forward here.
Mr. Stephanie.
This is great. So Jesse doesn't want to play beauty parlor, but Stephanie insists. Yes, he does. Here we go. I love this. They go back and forth. No, he doesn't. Yep. Yes, he does. And Steph, of course, cries. Yes, he does.
It wins every time.
I like this bit. I enjoy it. I'm glad they brought it back for season two.
Yep.
Jesse tells her, you're 6 years old, you're in first grade, this phony crying routine and lip motif doesn't work anymore. She admits, I knew this would happen someday. She walks over to the door and slumps down, giving him a big fake sigh. Jesse
so
caves.
Dramatic.
So dramatic. Jesse caves immediately, asking, oh, why am I such a sucker? Steph responds, because you love me. And Jesse agrees. Stephanie drags him into her beauty parlor, also known as her bedroom. Joey is already in this beauty parlor with a hairnet on and freshly polished toes. He's reading a book. He's reading Horton Hears a Who. Very on brand.
Fabulous, Dr. Seuss, Soyce, however you prefer to say it.
Jesse laughs at him, but Joey assures him that Stephanie isn't finished yet. Steph fake blow dries his hair and announces, thank goodness you came to me when you did. If you don't look good, I don't look good.
I mean, it's true that we saw the end of season one hair. It needed some work.
It needed some work.
Yes.
Joey advises her, you're going to need a weed whacker for that bush, pointing to Jesse's hair. And John clearly is wearing a wig in this scene.
I wrote down that the mullet wig was worse than the real mullet. And that is saying something.
That is. I don't know how it can get worse than the real mullet, but.
I also think, you know, wig technology was not what it is today. And so it was, John had short hair and then they just put long hair over it, you know?
It doesn't matter. It's kind of like sticking out in the back. I swear it changes lengths throughout this scene.
It for sure does. Yeah. At times I was like, wow, that's long. And then I was like, it wasn't that long. And then it was like shoulder length, you know?
Yeah. There was no continuity with this wig. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It was the 80s. So Stephanie reveals a giant pair of scissors, which scares Jesse away.
Edward Scissorhands, here we go.
Right? Jesse says, those are real scissors. Isn't this a pretend haircut? Stephanie tells him yes. But Jesse insists that she needs pretend scissors. Steph looks at her watch and tells him, Mr. Stephanie does have other appointments. So they got to get a move on.
Seriously.
Jesse obliges, telling her to be very careful because, as we know, no one really cuts his hair except for Alejandro.
Oh, the great and fabulous Alejandro.
So Stephanie starts to make small talk with her client, asking, have you heard who Miss Piggy's been dating lately? Joey asks if Jesse's able to watch the girls tonight because he wants to try his Roger Rabbit impression at the Laugh Machine. Jesse rolls his eyes, emphasizing, hey, it is Saturday night. Joey turns on the Roger Rabbit voice and begs, oh, come on, Jess, please. I'm not doing that impression. As Joey's doing his impression, Stephanie is laughing. She's loving this. And without realizing it, she accidentally cuts a huge chunk of Jesse's hair off of his head.
I remember that because I remember having to like have the scissors at the wig and it was like, don't cut it. Before we're ready, you know, because once you cut it, you cut the wig. And
stressful.
But I do remember. And I also was like, don't cut my fingers. Because I had to be like looking away when I did it.
Yeah, that was a lot of coordination for you.
All my digits survived and the joke worked.
And John's head survived all of this.
His head survived. No one
worked. Yeah. No, that is stressful
above all,
because
the joke worked.
You practice in rehearsal. You don't actually cut the hair in rehearsal, and so you have to wait until they actually roll cameras. Right.
Yeah, you can't be buying wigs all willy-nilly.
No, we were on a budget. We were only on so many wigs. So
that was pretty obvious with that wig.
So Stephanie says, oops, out loud, and Jesse's trying to figure out what happened.
That's never a sound you want to hear when someone's giving you a haircut.
Never. Oops. That's the worst thing to say.
Right.
Danny walks in with DJ and tells everyone, breakfast is ready. We're having pan cuts instead of pancakes. DJ gasps, telling Steph, I can't believe you did that. Jesse questions Steph as she pulls out a huge, long chunk of his hair, and Jesse whimpers.
I pulled out a small animal off of his head. That was so not, again, it grew like 6 inches in my hand. I was like, where did all of that hair come from?
Yeah, it was not the same hair that you cut off.
Hair. It was a whole other wig in my hand was what it was.
So Stephanie pleads, have mercy. Jesse is upset. He runs out. And DJ says again, I can't believe you did that.
Spoken like a true sibling.
Oh, yeah. She's not letting you live it down.
You're wrong.
You did a bad.
Yeah.
So we cut to the bathroom where Jesse is examining his hair with two handheld mirrors, looking horrified. Danny tries to assure him that it's just hair, but Jesse snaps back, telling Danny, your hair is just hair. My hair is in her hand. Oh. DJ repeats to Stephanie, I can't believe you did that. Jesse snatches his hair back from Stephanie, saying Alejandro may be able to sew it back on. Danny yells after him, would you like me to pack it in some ice? And Joey laughs, adding, maybe we can get Eric Estrada to be a hair donor.
And for those of you that don't know who are too young, Eric Estrada was on a show called Chips and was known for having also fabulous hair.
He did have fabulous hair. That's right. That's true. That hurts me that some of our listeners don't know who Eric Estrada is. You're right, though. It's
a lot of our listeners probably don't know who Eric Estrada is. Mm.
Everybody.
Nor have they ever seen a landline. So, you know, it's or anything in the 19th century.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Oh. My poor heart here. Okay. So Stephanie tells Jesse she's sorry and he snaps back. So am I.
Aww.
I know. Oof. DJ tells Steph again, I can't believe you did that. And Stephanie finally yells back, I can't believe you're still saying that.
Seriously.
Right?
Enough.
Just rubbing it in, DJ. Come on. So back in Stephanie's room, Steph is packing up all of her toys, telling her dad that she's punishing herself. She tells her toys, I'm sorry, I don't deserve to play with you anymore. She hands her doll, Emily, to her dad and solemnly announces, goodbye, fun.
You know, I didn't remember Steph being this much of a martyr, first of all.
Oh.
I was like, girl, come on.
She feels terrible about this.
Right. She's like, I'm the worst person ever.
Yep.
But also, still no Mr. Bear.
This would have been a great Mr. Bear moment. Where's Mr. Bear?
Where's Mr. Bear? Instead, we have this weird, creepy, small wonder looking doll.
Yes. It is a very creepy looking doll with that same red dress. Yeah.
No. It is the person from Small Wonder. Just they spent their hiatus on the bookshelf.
They miniaturized her.
Yes, exactly.
Inserted her into Full House. So Danny tells Stephanie she doesn't need to do this. And Stephanie responds, yes, I do. I'm too dumb to have toys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Steph's really taking this hard.
Right.
She walks over to her bed, deciding to add on to her punishment, telling Danny, I don't deserve pillows or blankets or sheets, too. And she just strips her bed completely.
Yeah. Not even a mattress cover.
No. Danny tries consoling her, saying Uncle Jesse knows that she didn't do this on purpose, so there's no reason for her to feel bad. Danny tells her to come downstairs and eat some breakfast. She tells him, I can't leave my room. I've grounded myself until I'm 82.
I'm technically still grounded.
You're still grounded, right?
Yeah, I know.
You've got 40 more years to go.
40 more years to go. You know what? I'll take it now.
You've been in that little room right there.
You've been just sitting right there. Not even a sheet for 40 years.
Yes. Danny responds, you are not grounded. I am your father, and I'm ordering you to play with your toys. Steph gives him the doll back, saying, please don't make me have fun. He tells
her. Creepy doll that's definitely got some
poor child's soul.
There's no fun to be had with this creepy doll. That's for sure. So Danny tells her that one day when she's a parent, she'll understand. He hands the doll back to her cheerfully, telling her to have fun. Stephanie pretends to play with the doll for a few seconds and then sighs, sarcastically saying, "Hot dog." She's not gonna have fun. She's not having fun.
And also bringing it back to the hot dogs. So
yes. Oh, love that. We cut to the living room where Danny is reading the paper as he's continuously telling Michelle, "Don't do that," as she's slowly pushing the magazines off the table. Danny tells her that now they have to play a game called "Let's Clean Up Our Mess." See, Danny, they're bringing back Danny and his cleanliness.
This feels like an introduction, really, onto Danny as a clean freak. Like, what's happened between season one and season two that Danny is now having this, like, reactionary anxiety cleaning? You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Yeah, we got hints of it in season one, but now it's full on.
Right, but now this episode, he's dust busting the vacuum. Yeah. He's alphabetizing magazines. Mm-hmm. Feels a little like maybe this might be how he's dealing with some things, and it's becoming a little, he's being wound a little tight.
Danny's got feelings, and he's taking it out on the organization of the house.
Right, and not to mention the fact that there are toys that are obviously on the stairs, which are a hazard, but yet
there's like a skateboard on the stairs.
Yeah, like turned upside down, but we have alphabetized People magazine. Right. You know what I mean? Like that, to me, I was like, your priorities need to be switched around, sir.
Danny's priorities, oh dear. Yeah. It is something. So Michelle helps him put the magazines back on the coffee table in order, and Danny applauds her. Joey butts in, telling Danny not to turn this sweet, innocent girl into a compulsive, neurotic nutcase like him. Joey picks Michelle up, telling her it's time for a nap. He sarcastically mentions, "When you're sleeping, don't wrinkle your pajamas."
She was not happy when she got picked up either. No, she
didn't want to leave.
They were very much not happy.
Which is true. What kid wants to take a nap? No, it's like,
it's true.
And now I live for naps, but no. When you're a kid, naps
take a nap right now.
Go ahead, we'll wait.
Yeah.
So DJ and Steph walk in. The girls say that they're done with the dishes. DJ tells her dad exactly how she stacked the dishes, which sounds a lot like the way he organizes the magazines.
Again, Danny is all of a sudden, like, everything has to be in size, alphabetical order.
Oh, he's hardcore. Danny salutes them, telling them good work. Stephanie tells her dad, "Oh, I've really tried hard to have fun. Now can I please go back to being sad?" Danny tells
Steph's
her—
Steph's very emo. She's like,
so emo.
She's going to be a big, like, My Chemical Romance fan in like 20 years.
The guilt is just with eating her alive.
She's going to have, like, she'll be like, yes, I'm so emo. Yeah.
This is the start of it.
Yep.
So Danny tells her she's being too hard on herself. It was just a little chunk of Uncle Jesse's hair. Right then, the doorbell rings. And Danny tells Steph it wasn't even a chunk of hair. It was a chunkette. When DJ answers the door, a hot nurse is there to help Jesse into the house. Of course.
Where did this woman come from?
I don't know.
Why
this,
is she here?
This seems like a concierge service. Like,
why is he
nurse?
Wearing a helmet? I have so many questions. It's so many things that I...
they're clearly setting up for this, and the joke has to work.
The joke has to work.
So Jesse has casts all over his arms, which are sticking straight out like Frankenstein, and he's wearing his motorcycle helmet, like you pointed out.
What did he break in order to have that be the remedy for it?
Yeah, it's like a full body cast from the waist.
Like, what? What did you break, and how are you just walking in the house if that was the case?
He's like, how much time did he have to spend at the hospital?
He's awfully spry for having broken the entire upper half of his body.
Nothing else. Like, his face is still perfect. Like, nothing else. Right. He's not nary a scratch on his face.
I'm starting to question Jesse's insurance practices here, because, you know, first he did it with Bullet.
Oh, yeah.
Got in a got in a car accident, car destroyed. He's fine.
And he was fine.
Now it's the motorcycle. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Is he getting money for these destroyed vehicles? Is this some insurance fraud that Jesse's trying to pull?
Is that why all of a
sudden he's like, you know what? I'm not going to be an exterminator anymore. I'm just going to, this is my new gig.
You know what? I am here for this theory. Love it. Yeah. Okay.
That's how he's getting his money it's insurance fraud so that he can keep being an Elvis impersonator on the side.
Because that's what he really wants to do.
That's what he really wants to do. So he's like, I'm just going to start crashing things. Right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. That's why he's so upset to have lost the mullet. Yeah, he's lost his identity here.
Got it. This makes sense.
So Jesse explains.
Well, he's got to cut his hair because they're on to him for the last fraud. So he's got to look like somebody different.
Changing his identity.
When he goes in the hospital this time. Right, right. They're like, can't look like the same guy. Got to be different.
That's why he's wearing the helmet.
Right, yes.
So Jesse explains, well, thanks to Mr. Stephanie's pretend haircut, I was forced to get a real one, which I hate. I hopped on my Harley and raced out of the parking lot, failing to see the tiny sign that says severe tire damage. He tells everyone he wrecked his bike and now he has these concrete sleeves. Stephanie hears this and looks devastated. The sad violins take us to a very sad commercial break. And when we return, When we return, the nurse is getting ready to leave. She tells Jesse, if you ever need a sponge bath, give me a call, as she writes her number on his cast.
I like to hit on people. Hey, do you need help? Wiping yourself? I've got
you. Do you need me to clean your butt?
Like, that's not sexy.
She needs to work on her game. Yes.
That's not. Well, I mean, she did meet him in a hospital, so.
I'm just surprised he didn't flirt back. Like, I was expecting him to be like, oh, I got concrete arms. Let's go make out. You know, nothing has stopped him before.
He couldn't even shake her hand.
No.
You know?
No.
Yeah.
So Joey walks up to her trying to flirt by saying, well, if you need a sponge bath, well, you look like a shower person. And there's a missed opportunity here. Like, the nurse's name is Rhonda.
For a sponge bath?
No, no. Well, yes. But the nurse's name is Rhonda, and there's
help me Rhonda
joke. Come on. Like, missed opportunity. I was waiting for it.
I feel like there had to have been at some point.
Well,
maybe it wasn't working.
He says, thank you, thank you for helping me, Rhonda. But it's not like, it's not delivered like a joke. It's not written like a joke. It's not set up like a joke. And I'm like, this is a sitcom. Well, you got to set up a joke.
Yeah. Maybe it was just a joke that didn't go over well.
Didn't land. Maybe it got cut in the edit. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that is thanks for helping me, Rhonda. I think that would qualify as a joke.
That is the joke.
It's not a very funny one. Okay.
Okay. So Jesse is wondering what he is going to do for the next 6 weeks with two broken arms. Joey tells him, I think you can scratch bowling off the list. DJ adds, I think you can scratch scratching off the list.
Seriously.
Stephanie apologizes again, saying it's all her fault. Danny comforts her, saying, well, it's not all her fault. He tries to get Jesse to say the same, and Jesse reluctantly tells her, well, it's not all your fault. Thanks, Jesse.
Just mostly.
It's like 98% her fault.
Yeah.
DJ says, well, let's see your new haircut. And Jesse tells them, no, 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 but everyone insists. Joey walks over to him, taking his helmet off and revealing a short-haired Jesse. Everyone is shocked, including the audience.
And including all of the 80s. All of the 80s were shocked. All of the 80s was like, the mullet's out now?
The mullet is out, but he looks so much better. Like, this is a massive improvement.
So much better.
Like, I felt
so much better.
Actual relief.
Yeah, right? I was like, oh my God. Yeah, I know.
The better haircut. Yeah, no, it's a huge improvement.
But people, like, the audience, like, kind of laughed. I was like, I guess they laughed just because it was Jesse going, his beloved hair was now
shorn. Yeah, but I was trying to figure out, did they think it was a joke? Like, and that's why they were starting
to laugh? No, I think it was just more like they
were so stunned.
Well, because everyone knows, I think, the attachment to Jesse's hair. I don't necessarily think it was the haircut itself that was bad.
Not the hair, huh?
Although Joey does say he looked like Pee Wee Van Herman.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And Stephanie says, I think you look very handsome. Aw. Steph is just... So John obviously cut his hair over this hiatus. Do we know why? We should have asked him this when he was here. We'll have to ask him.
I, when my only back. Question would be, why not sooner?
Yeah,
what took you know the, what I mean? What like that, 22 what's, episodes? What took you? Yeah, how'd you get there in the first place? What was wrong? Yeah. But yeah, no, I love you, John. But that hair was a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what prompted the haircut. I'm just glad
I think it was
It
was just time.
It was time for a change.
Okay. Time, yeah.
So DJ hugs Jesse, saying she's glad he's okay. Steph comes up to him, saying she's happy he's okay too. And she grabs his concrete arm and tries hugging it as he yelps in pain. Jesse scolds her, telling her to be a little more careful. He walks away, getting the door for himself and announcing it takes more than some broken bones to slow down Big J.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. What destroys Jesse? Mm. Car accidents, motorcycle accidents? Yeah. Just
feelings. That's what destroys Jesse's feelings.
That's true. Yeah, exactly.
Emotions.
Right.
So Michelle starts crying off camera, and Jesse and Joey start up the stairs to go grab her. Joey stops him and asks, was that a hungry cry or a wet cry? Danny confirms it's a hungry cry, and Joey says, well, in that case, I'll help you. DJ tells Steph that they should go help Uncle Jesse. Steph asks, help him? I can't even hug him. She runs upstairs to stay far away from Uncle Jesse. Mm. Womp womp.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and last hour on the business. I understand now, it is a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Jean. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Jean, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
So in the kitchen, Jesse is trying to grab a box of oat boats that is perched on top of the fridge, but he can't.
Oat boats making a comeback.
The oat boats, I love. They're like a recurring character at this point.
Yes.
They brought
kind of
back
a,
the
kind
oat
of a little, I mean, it's not an official everywhere you look moment, but it's kind of.
Yeah. No, I'm always looking for the box of oat boats in evidence in the kitchen. And this time it's a major part of this wonderful bit that we're about to watch here. So Jesse can't quite grab this because of his concrete arms. A DJ walks in and offers her help. Jesse says he's more than capable of making a simple bowl of cereal. What follows is another classic hysterical physical comedy bit by John in the kitchen.
He does so much of this great physical comedy, particularly in the kitchen.
Always in the kitchen. I don't know why.
Well, because it sets up good comedy. It gives you time to get from a stupid moment. Then you've got laugh beats as you're walking around the island to the next thing. Yeah, yes. He uses the space and the time of the joke really well.
He really does. We last saw this in the Knock Yourself Out episode where the girls are saying, don't forget the ice cream.
Right.
And he's piling all the food on top of himself. And he does it in Fuller House too, where he sets the kitchen on fire. So
yeah.
Don is very good at funny physical comedy bits in the kitchen.
Yes.
He grabs a broom to knock the cereal onto the floor. He then grabs a meat fork to pick it up and brings the box to the kitchen table. Now, several times during this scene, Jesse suddenly makes a turn with his outstretched concrete arms and nearly clobbers DJ, who has to duck to avoid him. Danny enters the room carrying Michelle. DJ leaves, telling her dad, Jesse's perfectly capable of making a simple bowl of cereal. Jesse is now at the cupboards trying to grab a cereal bowl with his teeth. Danny asks to give him a hand, and Jesse asks, well, do I look like somebody who needs a hand? He pulls the bowl out far enough with his teeth to stick it on his head, and he wears it like a hat to the table. Yep. Big applause from the audience. Like, this is just such a funny... He looks so cute with that bowl with on his little, head, too.
Right?
So at the kitchen table, Jesse pours the entire box of oat boats into the bowl. Danny leaves Michelle with Jesse to keep an eye on him as he goes to change for work. He hands Jesse a carton of milk, and Jesse pours the milk, but needs to add the finishing touch by putting bananas on top of his cereal.
I would have given up with the bananas.
Right.
You know what I mean? I would have been like, I don't need the bananas.
Right. You don't. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. But he's doing.
But he's
going for it.
He's trying to make
making
a point.
That nothing has changed.
Yes.
So he shakes one banana off of the bunch. He places the cereal bowl on the chair and sticks the banana on the kitchen table, grabs a rolling pin and squeezes the banana or rolls the banana out of its peel directly into the cereal bowl. The audience is so impressed.
I was like, how is he going to do this without like just, I thought the banana was going to go flying right across the table.
Me too.
Quite a technique.
I wonder how many times they had to shoot that because it's not easy to roll a banana out of its.
Especially with your arms stuck in that position. Yeah.
Yes. So Jesse grabs a long wooden spoon and tells Michelle it's time for him to enjoy his oat boats. Except when he tries to eat the cereal, he realizes he can't reach the spoon to his mouth. He even tries flicking the cereal towards him, but it just splashes everything on his face. Jesse resorts to sticking his entire head in the bowl and eating the cereal face down like a pig in a trough.
Right, just in there.
Danny re-enters the room and looks at him concerned. And Jesse defensively asks, what's the matter? Never seen a grown man eat cereal before? And Danny admits, well, not like a Great Dane.
Yeah, it's very much like a Great Dane.
Danny encourages Jesse to let them help him. Jesse groans, admitting defeat. Danny takes Michelle's bib off of her, saying, I think your uncle needs this more than you do. He puts the bib on Jesse and starts to spoon feed him. This cues a musical montage.
Yes.
Set to the song.
I was waiting.
Yes. This is set to the song Help by somebody covering the Beatles.
I believe it's it's probably the Rippers. Probably like Gary Griffin.
The Rippers.
Yeah. Because Gary produced all the music for the show.
Oh, yeah.
So I would think that maybe, or
they
covered
this song too. That's a great guess.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's go with that. I think that's great. The Rippers are singing Help.
Sure.
We see in this montage the family is helping Jesse brush his teeth, tucking him into bed, helping him get out of bed, shaving his face, putting a t-shirt on, licking stamps, and spoon feeding him. And throughout all of this, Jesse is not happy.
No. Not loving it.
Not loving this. We cut to DJ's room where DJ is strumming Jesse's guitar as he sings, but she is unable to get the tempo right. This is a great callback to But Seriously, Folks.
The Bangles.
The Bangles, where DJ is screwing that screwing up the Venus song too.
Yes, or not the bangles, the bracelets.
The bracelets, yes.
Right,
we were bracelets. Yes, the bracelets.
And I do see that Stacey Q has been very unceremoniously removed from DJ's wall. So oh, right. I don't know what Stacey Q did to well, piss her off, and she
never got
like,
the autograph. She got Joey took her autograph away, and so
right. So she was like, "I can't even bear to look at it anymore. I have to take this poster off my wall. Reminds me of a dark time in my life."
Right.
Got it.
So yeah,
okay.
The bangles are back on the wall. Stacey Q is out. Jesse explains this is music, and DJ hands the guitar to Stephanie, asking her to do it instead. DJ adds, "All you do is mope around. Come on, everybody's helping out, but you." Steph explains that she can't help. Jesse puts an end to the argument, saying, "This is so stupid. I can't play my music. I can't take care of myself. This is so humiliating." And he storms out.
Way to be a big baby about it.
Yeah, he's really just making Stephanie feel bad
Jesse
at
and
every
his feelings.
Possible moment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We cut to the kitchen where Danny is dust busting his vacuum bag. This is peak
Which
Danny.
Like, we went from 0 to 100 real yes, quick. You know yes. what I mean? We went from like, oh, the guy kind of likes, we went from the house is a disaster to, okay, he likes a clean house, to now he is compulsively cleaning his cleaning products.
Yes.
And I'm honestly a little alarmed, but
they're going full bore with it. They're just like, Danny's
yeah,
a clean freak.
Like Danny
and we're
needs
not
to talk
up.
To someone, maybe, mm-hmm. you know? He's that about like controlling his environment doesn't mean he can control the world. I don't know.
Yeah, therapists would have a field day with this.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So Jesse runs downstairs telling Danny to open the back door so he can leave and then slam it. DJ tells her dad that Stephanie won't help Uncle Jesse. Steph explains, "I don't want to break him. I don't ever want to hurt Uncle Jesse again." DJ tells her she didn't hurt Uncle Jesse, but Stephanie insists, "Well, I only scalped him, wrecked his motorcycle, and broke his arms. No wonder he's so mad at me." Danny hears this and excuses DJ from her duties as caretaker, which she's very excited about. Danny talks to Stephanie alone, saying, "Well, okay, you're a little bit jinxed." And Steph asks, "Jinxed? I'm the kiss of death."
Yeah. She's taking this really hard.
She's taking it so hard. We cut to the backyard. Danny walks out to find Jesse kicking his wrecked motorcycle.
Just where Bullet died.
Right. This is where Bullet died. This is the backyard where vehicles go to die.
Yeah.
By the hand of Jesse. Like, what is going
on? I'm telling you.
Yes. I like your insurance fraud theory.
I'm just asking questions. Just asking questions.
So Jesse angrily tells him, "I don't want to talk about it right now. I'd leave, but I can't reach the gate hook." Danny lectures him, "Well, there's nothing you can do about your arms, but there is something you can do about Stephanie." Jesse's confused, so Danny explains that Stephanie is too scared to go near him because she's afraid she's going to hurt him again. Jesse shrugs and says, "Well, tell the little rug rat she's wacko."
That's always a good, that's...
Right? He's so loving. Danny says, "Well, Jesse should be the one to tell her that, and in a nicer way." Thank you, Danny. Yes.
Thank you, Danny. Yes.
Jesse finally agrees and asks Danny to send Stephanie out. Danny goes back in the house and comes back with Stephanie carrying her and places her down on the grass. Stephanie shuffles a couple of inches towards Jesse, and Jesse says, "You can come a little closer." But she argues, "I better not. I'm dangerous. That is why you hate me."
Aww.
Aww. And the audience gives a big aw.
A big, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I did. And it was me. I was like,
and it was
aw.
You. Yes. Yeah. Jesse is finally taken aback and says, "Stephanie Judith Tanner, I do not hate you." And I believe this is the second episode where he's referenced, or someone has referenced, Stephanie's full name, Stephanie Judith Tanner.
Well, I think
Tanner.
In the Oatboats, we call each other Donna Jo Tanner and Stephanie Judith
Stephanie
Tanner.
Judith
or Stephanie
Tanner.
Judith Tanner and Donna Jo
Margaret Tanner.
Yeah.
That's right. So Steph asks why he's yelling and being so grouchy if he doesn't hate her. Jesse realizes that he's been feeling sorry for himself and he's acting like a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He apologizes to Stephanie, saying he didn't mean to blame her. Steph asks, "You're really not mad at me?" Jesse tells her, You made one little mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. He gives her an example. I'm an expert bike rider, and I've never had one problem, but I miss one little sign and boom, I'm the mummy man. He tells Steph, same with you. How many pretend haircuts have you given? She starts to count and then lands on 1 million.
Yeah.
He emphasizes that she's an expert too, but she just made one little mistake.
You look away one time, you know?
You laugh at one joke.
You laugh at one joke and you cut one gigantic
piece of mullet.
Weasel's amount of hair out of someone's head. You know, it's a thing that happens.
It's the ferret from season one.
It is the ferret from season one. It's been in Jesse's hair making noise this entire time.
It's time to exterminate that mullet.
The ferret is finally gone. Everybody, don't worry. We finally got the ferret. Okay.
So Jesse promises Stephanie that he will be as good as new. He tells her, you come over here and you give me the world's biggest hug. Lay it on me, baby. She walks up and just squeezes his fingers lightly.
Yeah. I remember that, by the way. I just remember lightly squeezing his lips.
Oh, he's just like, don't break him. Be delicate. Yeah. He asks her if he has the cooties and he tells her to sit on his lap. He admits that he's going to need her help. Since he can't play his music, he was thinking about working on some lyrics. He tells her, well, that is if you could write down the lyrics for me. Stephanie exclaims, I can do that. If you write about dog, cat, tree, and Stephanie.
Hit song.
Jesse laughs and asks, well, can you spell baby? She spells it out for him and he nods, telling her, good, then we have a hit.
It's true. The word baby in a song is proven to be a hit.
An instant number one hit. Jesse says that the best part about Steph helping him is he gets to spend more time with his little buddy. She responds, I'm so glad you broke your arms, and gives him a big hug. He excitedly tells her, you're hugging me, and I'm not even hurting.
Yeah, because you quit being a baby about it.
Finally.
Finally.
Stephanie yells, you're right, the curse is broken. And they scream in unison, have mercy.
That was so cute. I love that little have mercy moment.
This is the sweetest little scene between you and John. I just love the bond between Jesse and Stephanie. It continues all the way through Fuller House.
True. This was one of those scenes that I watched and then it just made me think of sort of the later times in Fuller House and all that. It was very cute.
Yeah. And including walking you down the aisle when Stephanie finally gets married and in the last season of Fuller. Aw, so sweet. Well, this feels like the end of the episode, but it's not. We have one more scene.
One more scene.
One more scene in Michelle's room. Jesse is sitting next to Michelle's crib as she brushes his hair. He stands up and asks, well, what do you think of my new haircut? Better than Gary Shandling's?
And they probably only said that because Bob and Dave and John actually knew Gary and it was just a stupid joke.
Like a little insider joke, maybe. Yeah. I'm thinking so too, because it seemed kind of out of left field. So I'm like, this must be an insider joke.
Although Gary Shandling was also very popular comedian at the time.
So Michelle promptly says no. You can tell this is a word she's learned. She's like, no.
Yes.
That's her line now for the rest of the episode.
Yes.
Jesse asks her, well, what about Don King's hair? And again, she tells him no. He sarcastically says that he feels much better.
Also to those of you in their audience going, who's Don King? He was a very, I'm telling you.
Wow, you're right.
He was a famous boxing promoter and manager who also notoriously ripped off most of his clients and stole a lot of their money.
Ooh.
And was kind of not probably a great person, but his hair was that way.
It defied gravity.
It was what inspired Wicked. But it defied gravity. But it definitely went up.
It did. It went very up.
But it was sort of a running joke. Don King's hair. Yeah.
So Jesse's relieved that he does not look like Don King.
His hair looked worse before.
It did. It did. This is a huge improvement. So Jesse walks around Michelle's room, mentioning how he always says that things happen for a reason. He's realized that maybe this is all happening to him because it's time to make some changes in his life. She stares at him blankly and he continues, you realize that ever since I've been 16 years old, I've had the exact same haircut. I've ridden the same Harley, dressed the same, listened to the same music, and had the same boring job killing bugs. He admits for someone who likes to live life on the edge, he's been living on the edge of a rut.
Yeah. I mean...
Is he going through another life crisis? Like, it's only been a few episodes since the last one.
Yeah, he's got a life crisis, and it's always kind of about the same thing, and he always comes to this realization, but then he hops on his bike and forgets about it and breaks his arms.
Yeah, yeah. This is now a pattern.
I feel it, and there's more episodes to come where he freaks out and hops on his bike and leaves, so...
Okay, so this is a pattern for Jesse.
This is a pattern. Yeah, yeah.
So Jesse stands up and announces to Michelle, starting right now, I'm going to shake my life up a bit. Michelle looks surprised, and Jesse asks, "What, you think I'm afraid of change?" She stares blankly, and he gets defensive, saying, "You think I'm caught up in this whole rebel thing, and I refuse to grow up, huh?"
Yes.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Yes, I do.
Exactly, Jesse.
Yes, I do think that.
Spot on. He reveals that from now on, he's going to be a lot more open to change, and he's going to start acting like a mature adult. After his speech, he immediately groans, "Joey, I need you." Joey walks up in a killer turtleneck and asks again. He asks again.
Yeah.
Jesse tells him he did have 4 glasses of iced tea, and the audience laughs. Here we go. More potty humor. They love it.
You know, there was a moment that got edited out of this.
Oh, what? Do tell.
So if you watch, Dave goes and reaches behind him. And I don't know if you remember, it's in the gag reel.
He pulls
tongs out of his back pocket and goes like, deep, 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 like that. And goes out after him, like as if he's using the tongs to help Uncle Jesse use the restroom.
Oh, geez.
They cut that out of the episode, but it's definitely in the season 2 gag reel.
That's so great.
And if you watch it, you sort of see Dave like go reach back into his pocket. Oh. But I think they were like, maybe we shouldn't put that in the final cut.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's great. Yeah. That I did not notice that. That's hysterical. We gotta find that gag reel. So the guys stare at each other and Joey tells him to go on and Michelle waves goodbye as both guys walk out of the room. And that is our show. That is our season 2 opener. Yes.
Season 2 opener. Jesse's broken arms.
Yeah. Jesse's life crisis. They're back. They're back. This was a solid season opener.
This was a great season opener, actually. I really enjoyed it. I was very pleased.
I did
with
too.
This
yeah.
Episode. It's one of my favorite episodes. I just think it's a cute. There's some cute scenes in it, and some really funny physical comedy bits with John.
And some emotional beats too. They hit all the
right.
Yeah, that's
what I mean. Like some
beats.
Really great, sweet, touching scenes. Yeah. Some really funny scenes. It was a well written and well executed episode. I do like this one.
Yeah, I did too. And I wrote down that my only note is that I wish this episode had kind of hinted at any of the storylines to come in season 2 or the character arcs, but now I'm just realizing in real time that maybe that's what this last scene in Michelle's room was about. Jesse's hinting that he's making changes, and I don't know what's coming in season 2, but
right?
This,
do they
maybe
become
that's the setup.
Jingle writers? Do
Is
they
this
become
the jingle writers? Yeah,
radio hosts. That one of the many jobs that Jesse and Joey do.
Yeah,
but yeah, it does. It is sort of setting that up. For that. But also sitcoms back then and shows back then, like, I feel like one-off episodes were kind of more of the thing. You could jump in really at any point.
True, yeah.
And you didn't necessarily, it wasn't like you needed to know what happened. And that's kind of a sitcom thing anyways. You can, you don't need to know as much. They're a little more like individualized episodes.
Yeah, you can jump in anytime.
But yeah, there wasn't a lot of long-term character arcs other than Jesse's, upset again.
Yeah. Jesse's upset. Jesse's upset.
Yeah. Jesse's upset. Jesse's upset.
Well, do you have any everywhere you look moments from this episode?
I do actually have an everywhere you look moment.
Ooh, bring it on.
And it's season 2. And actually, this is everywhere you look and something you don't see.
Oh, what?
The second couch. The second
Shut
couch
up.
Has the second- now been replaced with the 2 blue chairs that remained for the rest of the show.
I didn't even notice that.
But the second couch. Yep, the second couch is gone.
I'm kind of relieved because it always, it kind of bugged me every time. It's like, there's not 2 couches, there's only 1 couch.
It was such a pain in the ass every time. Like, I can only imagine as a director, as a, like, it would just, ugh, that thing would have driven me nuts.
Okay.
So, yeah, we finally got rid of that set deck, got it together and replaced it with two blue chairs.
And it's much easier to move those blue chairs out of the way when you need to push in for a close up.
You can see the couch of people sitting there. You can, you know what I mean? It's, yeah, it's the director finally had, Joel probably had burned the couch outside of set or something. It was like, I hate this thing.
Get it out.
Yes. But that was my everywhere you look was the second couch is gone.
I love it. I didn't even notice. I didn't notice that it was See? Gone. All right. That's excellent. Okay.
Did
well,
you
I
have one?
I do have one. And I've been wanting to bring this up for a while because I saw it in season one as well. And it's still here in season two. Okay. If you're in the living room set, and you look at the kitchen, the door leading to the kitchen.
Right.
There's this decor. There is this.
Is it the woman?
Is it a mermaid? What is this wooden thing?
Basically, it's
sticking out.
What you would see on the bow of a ship.
Okay, so it's still the nautical.
And it was always women were always carved into it because they were you were supposed to name your ship after a woman. It was like good luck and whatever, and you put that on the head of on the bow of your ship, and that was.
She's like the beacon. She's like this is what you name your ship at. Okay, so it's fitting in
maybe
with
the
nautical
maybe they ripped it
theme.
Off of the boat in the Sea Cruise episode and they've mounted it to the wall ever since.
The last remaining homage to their bachelorhood is this.
Yes.
This
it's
bow
right,
woman.
And it goes it's a set with that weird woman on the bow of the ship and the sea pappy's head. So they're a duo. Sort of like a weird salt and pepper shaker kind of set.
We gotta salt, I gotta
salt
get
and pappy salt and pappy shaker salt pappy sea and pappy shaker. It's salt
that's
and pappy.
It. This is what I'm that's giving it. You for Christmas next year.
For salt and pappy
salt
shaker.
And pappy. A custom made salt
oh,
and pappy
that's it.
Shaker.
Okay.
I love it.
Yes. Oh my God. Amazing.
All right. Well,
If you guys are enjoying the podcast, make sure you like and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at How Rude Podcast. You can also send us an email at How Rude Pod. Damn it.
That's okay. That's okay. It's not it's okay. the part I was nope. expecting you to part. Screw up.
Right. You can send us an email at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. There we go.
Good job.
And make sure and tune in next week. We've got mini-sodes. We've got episodes with Dave Coulier. We've got interviews, all kinds of fun stuff. So we're so glad to be back with you guys in 2024. And we're so happy to be starting season two of our recap of How Rude Tanneritos. And remember, everyone, the world is small, but the house is full.
Boom. Mic drop.
Mic drop done.
You did it, Jody Ooh. Sweeten. This is a new era.
See?
This
is
a new you.
It is. 2024, what you got? Oh, God, no, I shouldn't ask that question. It's terrible. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful. Because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season two of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.